Ramsey TV.
The Christian God is so stupid. How stupid is he, Martin? He's so stupid that he gives helpless people 10 more minutes to love him or else. Now that's stupid, you gotta admit. He pulls up to the burning house where the inhabitants are passed out, unable to get themselves out, and he honks the horn very loudly. I'll give you idiots 10 more minutes. Oh, you're gonna give helpless, unconscious people who are unable to choose God, who are not righteous, who are unable to please God. There is no one righteous, no, not one. They are all gone out of the way. No one is seeking God. You're going to give people who are locked up in stubbornness, who are slaves of sin and death, and who of themselves are helpless sinners, you're going to give them 10 more minutes. This is Martin Zender, once again, in the great outdoors here in South Florida. I got my little dog, Charles, here. He's hooked up to the bottom of the chair. Don't worry, I let him out once in a while. He roams free. He's a good boy. Anyway, the question also is, Martin, like, when are you going to stop talking about Mother Teresa?
Never. I'm never going to stop talking about the Saint of Calcutta.
How did Charles get loose? All of a sudden, he's off his tether. I don't know. How the hell do you do that? Oh, well. All right. A couple more days on Mother Teresa. Tomorrow, I'm going to give Mother Teresa, even though I know she's dead. I know that. But I'm going to pretend she's alive tomorrow. You're not going to want to miss it on Friday. And I'm going to give her advice. I'm going to give her advice on how her life could have been happy, what she could have done, to make things better and not be such a miserable, wrinkled, wretched sinner that she was. Yes, she sinned constantly by trying not to sin. That's a terrible sin, to try constantly not to sin. I'm not saying we're not trying to do the right things. I'm just saying her motivation was that her Christ, her fake Christ on the little crucifix she carried around at the end of her rosary, required her to stop sinning in order to please him. His work was incomplete. He needed her help. Now, what better way, I ask you this, what better way to hide the real cross of Christ than to put a fake one in front of it? There it is, a fake one. The little silver ornament. Does anyone remember that the cross of Christ was a shame? It was a horror. It was a nightmare of pain and death. And we glorify Christ for having died that shameful death for the sins of the world, but he has since risen. He is glorified at the right hand of God. And yet certain religions, namely the Catholic one, they make fake crosses, and they put a fake Christ on it, and they never get him off of the cross. They never show. Why don't they show Christ like glorified at the right hand of God? At the end of a rosary, you got all those beads, and then at the end, instead of this crucifix with this fake Jesus on it, who should be naked, really, if they're going to be accurate, and it's not really a cross anyway, it was a stake, it was an upright pole. Why don't you have a little fabrication there of Jesus, of Christ at the right hand of God? That'd be difficult to do. Yeah, you'd have to have God, at least, you know, put the caricature up there, God as on his throne with a big white beard, and Jesus Christ, like, glowing. No crucifix nearby. He's just like emanating light. I'm not sure how you would do this. You'd have to ask people to submit their proposals for the design. But no, he's always on the cross suffering, because the crux of all religion is suffering. What's the difference whether you're bringing your children to Moloch, whether you're bringing some kind of gift to satisfy the rage of your deity? What's the difference between these false gods and the Christian God? There is no difference. You have to present your best things. You have to bring your sacrifice to this God, this false God of Christianity. You have to bring your suffering. And as an inspiration for your suffering, you look to the crucifix and you see that man suffering. And instead of thanking him for it and going off and drinking a beer in celebration of what he did, and then telling yourself over and over again, he's raised at the right hand of God, he's all powerful. No, you use that as a model. See the crucifix? See that man writhing on the cross? That needs to be you. And that's what Mother Teresa did and said to herself. And it was encouraged by her stupid order, the Mothers of Charity or the MFers of Charity, whatever it was. Oh, I meant to say this about the word religion. I defined it from the Greek. It's dread demonism. Yes, dread demonism. And 1 Timothy 4:1 goes right along with this. What would you expect? Paul says, talks about doctrines of demons. About in the last days, doctrines of the teachings of demons will be rife. And one of the false teachings, it states right there in 1 Timothy 4, is forbidding to marry. So here we have the Catholics. What's their numero uno thing for their numero uno people? Not to marry. But in the Latin, the word religion, the root word there is lig, L-I-G. It means to tie or to bind. Yes, this is what religion does. It ties you. It binds you. It presents Christ as insufficient, and you must suffer to complete your salvation. It's not like you're suffering as Paul suffered to present the gospel to all. No, not that kind of suffering. You have to suffer to earn the smile of God and Christ. Of course, this is a complete falsehood. 2 Corinthians 5 assures us that God is not now reckoning the offenses of the world to them, because Jesus Christ took away the sins of the world. So what better way to hide the real cross than to put a fake one in front of it? Because you see, those who think they're serving God will never seek God because they figure they've already found him. That's the trick. We've already found him. So why seek him? But what they found is the attractive, the compelling, the Hollywood fake Christ. That's what they've found. And how strange to call a crucified man compelling, but it is compelling because people want to suffer. And again, they don't want to suffer with Christ. They want to suffer for him because they think they're earning their salvation. It distinguishes them from other people. And the reason they're saved and other people are going to hell for eternity is because they put themselves on the cross. No. Paul says that happened 2,000 years ago. We were already crucified with Christ. Romans 6:6, our old humanity was crucified. Now we're supposed to enjoy life, thank Christ, let the Spirit of God work in us. We're supposed to dance and sing and be happy. This is going to be part of my advice to Mother Teresa tomorrow. You're not going to want to miss it. So if you think you've already found Christ, why would you look for him? This was the snare of the Pharisees. It was a trap. It's why Jesus said to them, in John 9:41, you say, Jesus to the Pharisees, you say, we see, therefore your blindness remains. They were convinced that they see. This was born of an air of superiority, of a moral superiority, a spiritual superiority. They were prideful. They were full of pride. They were proud people, the Pharisees. So, apart from divine light and divine revelation, worshipers at the fake cross will die at the fake cross. Yeah, they'll die deceived. And I know the argument I hear all the time. But Martin, they're only ignorant. You gotta feel sorry for poor Mother Teresa. She was just ignorant. Yeah, I know, but the problem is ignorance is fatal. I can't say that enough to you. Ignorance is fatal. The Jews' ignorance of the righteousness of God, remember I read that verse to you from Romans 10? Left them where? Well, Paul said, my longing for them in Romans 10 is for their salvation. Paul's longing for their salvation. Therefore, as Paul writes concerning the Jews, they're not saved. Why are they not saved? Because they are ignorant of the righteousness of God. That's what Paul says in Romans 10. The Jews, ignorant of the righteousness of God. Mother Teresa, I made this point yesterday, ignorant of the righteousness of God. Why? Why ignorant? Because seeking to establish their own righteousness. There it is. The fake cross in front of the real cross. The fake cross seeking to establish your own righteousness, either because of pride, either because your religion tells you that that's what's expected of you, or you're staring at the crucifix with a Christ who never gets off it, and you think this is expected of you, you need to be like him. No, you need to thank him, but hey, if you think you need to be like him, then go ahead, try to establish your own righteousness. See what kind of life you live. See how many wrinkles you get. See how sad you are. And ignorance is fatal.
They're just ignorant, Martin. Mother Teresa was just ignorant.
Oh, that's... Sorry. Ignorance is Satan's number one tool. I'm going to read a verse to you right now that proves that. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 4. Paul speaking. Now, if our evangel is covered. Nice start, Paul. You could say, if the righteousness of God is covered, and it is the righteousness of God, God's righteousness. The scriptures is about God. The scriptures is about Christ. It's not about you. It's only about you down the road a little bit. It's primarily about God, his righteousness, and the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. But that's covered. See, Satan can't change that. I've told you that many times. Satan can't change that fact. The righteousness of God was demonstrated to the entire world, to the entire universe. Nothing can change it. Satan has to construct something ornate, something attractive, something false in front of it so that you never freaking see it. And that is seeking to establish your own righteousness. Mother Teresa, perfect example. Any Christian. It's always amusing to me how the other Christians mock the Catholic Church. They're no different. They're no different. They're offspring of the mother harlot. The Catholic Church is the mother of all harlots, the mother of the construct, the mother of the false Christ, the mother of keeping Jesus on the cross and making you think that you have to be on your own cross. And if you're not, you feel guilty. You wonder if you're saved. Have you done enough? This was the torture of the saint of Calcutta. Have I done enough? 2 Corinthians 4, 3, 4. If our evangel is covered, it is covered in those who are perishing. What do you mean by perishing, Paul? Perishing, Paul, means they're dying for the eon. It means that they won't see life until the great white throne, following the 1,000-year kingdom of Israel on earth. They're perishing. They're not going to be eternally tormented. They're not perishing forever. But they're not going to see life. Why? Because they bought into a false message. They bought into a false God and a false Christ, disguised as the Christian God, the Christian Christ. It's a disguise. And so why Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11, calls it a different Jesus, another Jesus. I thought there was only one Jesus. There is. Paul's referring to the fake one, the false Jesus. If our evangel is covered, it is covered in those who are perishing, in whom the God of this eon, small g, blinds the apprehensions, understanding, the apprehensions of the unbelieving, perfectly consistent with Romans 10, those to whom the evangel is covered, they're unbelievers. The poor Israel types, who were seeking to establish their own righteousness, and because they were so busy doing that, they couldn't see the true righteousness of God. There, Paul says, my longing, my lust is for their salvation. They're not currently saved, therefore they're unbelievers. Christians who cannot see our gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, that the cross of Christ was sufficient, that it's not up to a human to like it, to decide to want it. It's not up to a human who's passed out in a house overcome with smoke to run out of the door and get in God's car while he's honking the horn, giving you 10 more minutes. I'm going to give those helpless sinners 10 more minutes. How stupid are you, Christian God? You're an idiot. You know you're an idiot.
Yeah, I know I'm an idiot. Don't tell anybody.
No, I'm going to tell the whole freaking world, you big fat faker. Giving helpless sinners 10 more minutes. The hell. The God of the sea on Satan blinds the apprehensions. This is why I say Christians are Satan worshippers. Mother Teresa was a Satan worshipper. She just worshipped the cleaned up Satan. Satan's not stupid. He's like the Wizard of Oz dude. The wizard. Only it's the opposite. The Wizard of Oz. This little man was behind this giant mean face.
I'm the great and powerful Oz.
In this case, it's a happy, fun face. In this case, it's an ornate, fair-smelling, wonderful, appealing, emotional face. When you get behind the curtain, it's the biggest, hairiest, smelliest, ugliest, demonic force you have ever perceived. And that's what these Christians are going to find out at the Great White Throne. We worshipped a Hollywood wall. We worshipped a fake God and a fake Christ because it satisfied our souls. We like the idea that some people are going to be eternally tormented while we're saved. We like the idea that Jesus Christ left it up to us in the very last analysis to save ourselves. Ooh, that makes us feel proud. And they are proud. They're arrogant. They look down their noses at everybody else, while claiming that they're humble. Yes, we're so humble. Oh, we're so humble. We're so humble that our decision bought us eternal life. We're smarter than everyone else. Because if everyone else wasn't so stupid or unspiritual, then they would have chosen Jesus too, and then they could have been where we are. But instead, alas. Alack, and alas, they must be tortured for eternity. I wonder if that hurts.